It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you'll want to get your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 18. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 11th, 19 and 25. And we're talking about Paul at Corinth. Let me read to you the lesson text. After these things, I'll read down through Acts 18, verses 1 through 8. It says, "After these things, he departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, a man of Pontus by race, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. And because he was of the same trade, he abode with them, and they wrought. For by their trade they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook out his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence, and went to the house of a certain man named Titus Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." We'll get into the Sunday school lesson on this in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's return to Elam's notes. And we're going to begin where he said in Acts chapter 18, verse 6, "From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles." When the truth was presented clearly and strongly, and the people refused to obey it, the apostles turned to those who would accept it. Jesus teaches us to do this. While the church today must do all in its power to present the gospel to the people also must be made to feel their own responsibility. Those who do not realize their own responsibility cannot be saved. Paul went into the house of one Titus Justus. Justus, as his name implies, was just and desired to see justice done Paul and his co-laborers. He was one that worshipped God. He was probably a proselyte, maybe not yet a Christian. His house was close to the synagogue, and he threw it open to Paul that he might continue to preach and teach there. Justice's house was not Paul's lodging place. It was the place where he taught. The ruler of the synagogue, that was Crispus, the rulers and leaders of the people, seldom accepted the truth. And when they did, they were often the last to do so. At Jerusalem, the priests were among the last to become obedient to the faith, Acts 6 and verse 7. But Crispus reversed this rule, being one of the first at Corinth to become a Christian. He believed in the Lord with all his house. Nothing is said here about Crispus being baptized, but he was baptized, being one of the few at Corinth whom Paul baptized with his own hands, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 14 and 15. To believe in the Lord is to accept and obey all the Lord's commands. This is another example of a whole house turning to God, but it is expressly stated that they all believed in the Lord. Hence there were no infants there. And then it says, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. We know by what they did, what Paul taught them to do to be saved. They heard the word of God, and they believed, Romans 10:17. And they were baptized. They repented is shown from the fact that they believed in the Lord who requires repentance, and from the fact that they turned to serve God. This is in harmony exactly with what the people did on Pentecost in Jerusalem, what the Samaritans, what the eunuch, what Cornelius, and what all the numerous converts recorded in Acts did. Peter told the people to know assuredly, or to believe, Acts 2 and verse 36, then to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. The way of salvation was the same to all. Now let's read the last two verses of this text for this lesson. Acts 18, verses 9 through 11. This will be the last, 9 and 10. We'll read 11 in just a minute. Acts 18, 9 and 10. And the Lord said unto Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to harm thee, for I have much people in this city. At this point, Paul needed encouragement, for no doubt the Jews who rejected the truth, like other Jews, persisted in persecuting him. By a vision in the night, the Lord said to him, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. This is the reason the Lord gives why Paul should not be afraid. This was assurance of his personal safety. For no man shall set on thee to harm thee, for I have much people in this city. This was said to encourage him. The Lord calls them his people. Just as Jesus said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, in John 10:16, referring to the Gentiles, who would believe on him when they should hear the gospel, persons of good and honest hearts, as in the parable of the sower, will believe when they hear, and such are called his people, prophetically, even before they believe. God foresaw that many would heed the gospel call and become Christians, which they did. And now this last verse, Acts 18 and verse 11. He dwelt there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This was longer than he remained at any one place, so far as his stay in different places has been recorded, except at Ephesus. And at Rome, while a prisoner, Corinth was an important and radiating center from which to extend the gospel, and Paul remained there, teaching the word of God among them. This must refer especially to his teaching the disciples to observe all things that Christ had commanded, Acts 28, verses 19 and 20, referring to his letters. We learn that he taught them before writing to them. He taught them to meet on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. He taught them to come together to eat the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:17-23. He taught them to exhort one another, to sing, and to pray together, 1 Corinthians 14. And he taught them other things as stated. In verses 12 through 17, it states that the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and sought to suppress the gospel by arraigning him before Gallio, the proconsul. These verses also state the result of Paul's arraignment before Gallio. Let's read that. This is found Acts chapter 18, verses 12 through 17. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, this man persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. But When Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If indeed it were a matter of wrong or of wicked villainy, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if they are questions about words and names of your own law, look to yourselves. I am not minded to be judge of these matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. And they all laid hold on Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. Well, that concludes this Sunday school lesson. And I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I find the next lesson was written for the Sunday schools of October the 18th, 1925. Here E.A. Elam gives us a Sunday school lesson on Paul writes to the Corinthians. You know, there are two letters that we have that Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth, and we know he wrote at least two letters, and it's implied by these there may have been as many as four. The lesson text is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And this was the devotional reading we had earlier, and I'll read that for the lesson text today. 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 1 says, "If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, it is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. But now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love." And that is our golden text, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The devotional reading is 1 John 4, verses 7 through 13. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might believe through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." When we return to class, we'll study 1 Corinthians chapter 13.